Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
A young lady named Mary had an angel drop by. He gave her an answer to her question, why? In faith, she believed what she heard from that being, that her son would spend his life blood in our freeing. And it came to pass for the Christ child to come, the birth of our Savior, God's Holy Son. The night of all nights when the shepherds would hear the angelic announcement, the Savior is here. And far in the east, Magi saw in the sky the sign that the age of the Savior draws nigh. They gathered their camels and piled them high and set out to find God, those stargazing Magi. And here is the point in the story, my friends. We should pause for a moment and read what it says. So turn in your Bible to Matt chapter 2, the first 18 verses, so not all the way through. Please stand to your feet as I read out God's word. Please open your heart and let it be stirred. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard that he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that they had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice heard in Ramah, weeping a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The wonder of warning in dreams is our topic, a difficult one. Dreams are so kaleidoscopic, How can we know if a dream is from God? After all, strange things happen in that old land of Nod. Is there a way to discern dream truth from dream fiction? Before we pronounce some grand benediction, my friends, God has spoken and given a task, and I am the guy who must bring it to pass. Quite a risky statement to make, it sure seems, since the only one awake is you in your dreams. Joseph awoke from a great dream of warning, and they left for Egypt without waiting for morning. That's something to wonder at. I sure think so. Would I have the bravery to just get up and go? I'm the first to admit, my dreams are bizarre. Perhaps I'm playing piano while flying a car, with four rainbow monkeys singing a song, every line punctuated with the sound of a gong, and the guy in the back with the gong is the moon, crying real tears at that sweet monkey tune. But enough of that nonsense, for the point has been made, the meaning of dreams can so easily evade. But the dreams in our scripture today are all clear. Our dreamer awoke, knowing which direction to steer. We have something to learn from this dreamer's encounter. So let me give you a few things to ponder. Because sometimes the dreams we are given aren't strange. Sometimes they compel us and drive us to change. Sometimes they come while we're asleep in our bed. Sometimes they come when God speaks in our head. Sometimes they come as another casts vision. Sometimes they come vague, sometimes with precision. However they come, one thing's always true. If God gives you a dream or an instruction to do, it will always agree with God's holy word. It won't deviate nor cause a line to be blurred. This is the rule by which all dreams we measure. If it doesn't add up, then it's not a God venture. Imagine you're Joseph, that carpenter bloke. Imagine the feeling when he first awoke. Mary sleeps near you, Jesus all swaddled. The picture of peace, but the time can't be coddled. God's warning message repeats in your ear. Flee, flee this place, flee at once, do you hear? Herod has heard of the birth of my son. He's coming to kill him. So get up and run. So Joseph gets up. He gets up with haste, and they flee in the night, gone without trace. So this is the first thing I think can be learned. When we know for a fact God's voice we've discerned. The first thing is this. Are you ready, Anzanga? Get up. Get up. Don't sit still any longer. The first thing to do when we hear our God speak is to jump to our feet, to get up. I say leap. If you've heard from God, and remember our rule, if it lines up with Scripture, then you know it's all cool. If you've heard from God, and there's no reason to delay, then get yourself up. Muyi milire. Joseph heard God. He was certain of that. God gave him a nice plan in a three-step format. How nice it would be to have our dreams just so, with a list of all the things we should know. But it's often quite different when following Christ. We're not always given the steps or the price. That's why I think this first point so important. If you don't get up, you may stale or go dormant. Like a plant without water will just wither and die. God's call with no action will just petrify. There's no need for us to know every detail. If God sent the dream, then the saint will prevail. When I was still young, like almost 18, I had a God moment, a get up now dream. I remember so clearly what happened that day because everything changed when I chose to obey. I was sitting alone on the phone with my bae, talking and talking as young lovers may. My bae in those days was not yet my wife. I didn't yet know we'd be together for life. But that is a different story to tell. For now, I was talking to bae, lost in love's spell. When deep from within, I heard Jesus speak, unsure of myself, I tried a sneak peek. With bae on the phone, I shared what I heard, half thinking she'd tell me, "You're being absurd." "Renata," I said with a tentative voice, "I think God's asking me to make a big choice. I think what he's saying is I've got a call to change my whole future and give him my all, to change my career path from life in construction, to change my career path to disciple production." But how in the world could a hoser like me be part of God's plan healing humanity? But I can't shake the feeling that God's got a plan, and part of that plan includes using this man. Have I just gone mad? Have I lost all my sense? Is it fabrication or crazy pretense? "No," she replied. "No, Jeff, not at all. This has the ring of a God kind of call." I'll spare you more details because, as you can see, I chose to get up and missionary. Back in those days, I had no idea at all how it would come together when I answered God's call. Now, I stand here in wonder, you see, at God's master plan. I'm a testimony. So think of that thing that God's put in your heart and stop all your stopping by starting to start. Get up. It's time. That's step number one. Get up, God's daughters. Get up, God's sons. Okay, that's enough. Now on to step two. What is the next thing we see Joseph do? The guy got right up once God gave his warning, then woke his old lady up long before morning. And that little detail tells all married men either Joseph was crazy or very sure of his plan. Lucky for him, the latter was true. Step one is get up. Take action. Step two. Look at the text, chapter 2, verse 14. Not many words, NIV has 17. But think of all the action Joe takes to flee in the night with the highest of stakes. A trip down to Egypt is far if you're walking, and frankly, quite scary if bad guys are stalking. But Joseph manned up. He didn't sit in denial. He moved his young family to the land of the Nile. Joe heard from God, and he did what God said. He took action. To Egypt they fled. What is the action that you need to take? What is the change that you need to make? What is the dream that makes your heart ache? What is the habit that you need to break? What is the fear that makes your mind quake? What holds you back when God's plan is at stake? What lies inside of you longing to wake? What must you crucify? What must you forsake? It's time to rise up. Rise up, do you hear? Take action, Flood Church. The kingdom of God is now here. You have a role. Rise up. Do you hear? Sorry. You have a role. Just ask God and see. He'll surely use you. 100% guaranteed. What is the action you should take today? Stop all your stopping. Start starting. Okay? There's something important we need to see here. Something to silence a natural fear. Think of this family running in fright. What would they need above all for their flight? How could they live for the next several years unless they had money to help persevere? They were strangers to Egypt, in fear for their lives. What would they use to even survive? Look at our story and think of their guests, shepherds and angels, wise men on a quest. I don't think the little drummer boy came. Having a drummer at a birth seems kinda insane. But the wise men, the magi, these guys are the key. Their gifts could have easily bankrolled their swift flee. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Are you kidding? With these in their wallet, they could do all their getting. This would have helped Jesus' family in exile. I imagine a nice house on the bank of the Nile. A carpenter's shop where Joe's tools were kept, and a broom for wee Jesus, because you know, Jesus swept. But here's the point I'm trying to make. God sees the future. He knows what it takes to do what he asks any person to do. This scripture here proves it. Just read it. It's true. Often we fail to take action because the lack of resources gives probable cause. But if it's a dream from the Lord you have heard, and it falls in line with God's holy word, then get up. Take action in faith. Let's believe. Your need will be met. In due course, you'll receive. Now, on to the last of the steps from our dreamer. His actions found safety for our blessed Redeemer. What is the next thing the Lord said to do? Find verse 15 and then go back by 2. You mean verse 13? Yeah, but it didn't rhyme. I had to be creative. I hope you don't mind. The third thing God said in verse 21 minus 8 is to wait. Waiting is a thing that I don't like. In fact, it's like something I like totally dislike. And if you're like me, you like may like to agree. There's like not much to like in like waiting to see. But that's what the Lord told old Joseph to do. And sometimes he says that to me or to you. For Joseph, this waiting was vitally important. If he disobeyed, then Christ's life would be forfeit. Waiting in safety was all he could do. Far, 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 far from any people he knew. Waiting, just waiting day out and day in, while that magi money got painfully thin. Have you ever gone through a season of waiting? Don't you just find times like that are so grating? Especially after action's fast pace, to find yourself stuck in that old waiting place. Dr. Seuss says it best in one of his books. These are not my rhymes. I'm no rhyming word crook. Dr. Seuss says, and I quote, "The waiting place for people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for your hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting." Does that sound familiar to any of you? I've been there myself, and I bet you have too. Or maybe, just maybe, you find you're there now, waiting and waiting and wondering how you'll find your way out of that old waiting place and back to an interesting kind of a space. But waiting is often part of God's cycle. It saved Jesus' life from King Herod the psycho. And it has a purpose in your life and mine. It gives us the space to listen and find that God command to get up and move. The next action series, the next Jesus groove. Another great purpose to which Scripture is clear is the strength we can build while we're waiting here. The waiting place can be used to advantage if we just press in, if we don't mismanage. There's purpose, I tell you, in waiting on God. It's what prepares you for the next holy job. There's a verse in Isaiah that I'd like to read. Upon hearing it, I think my point you'll concede. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you ready to wait? Are you waiting in readiness? Wait on the Lord and shake off the heaviness. Even in waiting, there's something to do. This is the time where our strength we renew. Because before long, a dream might pass through and say, hey, get up, take action anew. It happened to Joseph. Take a look at verse 20. Hey, Joe, I'm the angel of God with a message to tell thee. Your family should leave and return to your home. Herod is dead and his psycho syndrome. So, steps 1 through 3 begin once again. They loaded their donkey named Jedediah H. Stan and did as commanded as we ourselves should. This is obedience, and obedience is good. It's time to conclude this long diatribe. I hope the main points I have well circumscribed. Get up is step 1. Take action, step 2. Step 3 is to wait as your strength God renews. So have a good think with your thinker today. And hear with your hearer what God wants to say. And see with your seer what God's word has said, and line it all up with the brain in your head. Then pass it all down from your brain to your heart. It's time to stop stopping. Get up and start.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.